story of the Gentile General, part four. By the grace of God, I want to preach God's word faithfully in your hearing. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 594, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 961 since January the 1st, 2016. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Now, you must understand, this was a big deal, because these dear folks didn't have hospitals like we do. We can go in to the emergency room and find out what's going on. And so this was a big deal to the general, to the centurion. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily, truly, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would once again open it up and cause us to get the sense of it, to understand it, to love it more, to obey it more, and to share it more. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here today under the sound of your holy word. We thank you for the privilege of allowing this poor preacher to proclaim it every day. We thank you for the people that you draw to it. We are amazed, we are taken aback, Lord, at how you draw people from all over the world to the preaching of the old story of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, his suffering, his shedding of his blood on the cross as the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world, his burial, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And then how that he was seen by many others, and those who were standing by saw him ascend back to heaven. And we look forward to his coming back to earth any time now. And so, Holy Father God, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. Forgive us and cleanse us of our sins. Empty us of ourselves. Make us fit for your use in every way. Not only to preach your holy word, but to hear it. Fill us, Lord, afresh and anew with the fullness, the anointing, the unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit. And speak to those who are lost. Speak to those who are young in the Lord, having to build up their faith. Speak to Christians who have been saved for a while but are backslidden in heart. Revive all of us again by the power of your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and by the power of your love, and by the power of the name of your Holy Son, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, after Jesus clearly stated that he would come and heal the centurion's servant, after the centurion approached him and shared his burden, one might think that he would be offended, that is Jesus, when the centurion basically rejected the offer, in a sense, and tried to tell Jesus how to do his job. I've traveled, by the grace of God, to many countries of the world, and one of the things I have learned, and what people in these in various and sundry countries will tell you when you visit, they people get offended if you don't want to enter into their home, and people get offended when you don't want to eat their food. There's certain countries that are very sensitive about that. I mean, it's built in. And so we have here the Gentile general who had basically shared with the King of Kings, no sir, that's okay. You don't have to come to my house. What faith? What faith? And some of you people, you may not have ever had the kind of faith as this centurion, but some Christians have been gifted with faith, and they can at least understand this kind of faith. All men, the Bible says, do not have faith. And in the church, there are certain ones who have more faith than others. But this centurion's faith was off the charts. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you or I might have thought, I just offered to come to your house and heal your servant, which is kind of a big deal. And now you think you can, if you will, tell me how to do my job and place certain demands and restrictions on what I do on me, such as speak the word only. What kind of faith is this? This was apparently a serious man. He was a man full of faith, and he was serious. He was not playing. He was not being disrespectful, but he had so much faith that Jesus Christ was God that he felt comfortable telling Jesus to not even do me the honor of coming to my house. Just speak the word, sir. But Jesus, by the way, does not react the way that some of us would have. Instead, Matthew records that he marveled. He marveled. You know how you marvel. Some of you people have seen a performance and you just walk out speechless, and somebody tries to ask you about it, and your head goes back, your hands go up, you just marvel. That's kind of like how Jesus responded. I'm taken aback. I know all things, but I marvel. I'm just amazed. In his human self, and doing it primarily to rebuke the Israelites and to show them what kind of faith they should have. For you see, ladies and gentlemen, the word marvel means to wonder at, or to have in admiration. Jesus marveled so much that he turned about to the crowd and said, "Verily," which means truly, "I'm telling you the truth. I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not among the people of God, no, not among the chosen ones of Israel." The apple of God's eye. Those who have the word of God, those who have Moses, those who have David, those who have Abraham, the great man of faith. "I've never seen," Jesus said, "faith like this." Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, "Twice in the Gospels it is recorded that Jesus marveled." Now, you know, it has to take something for the miracle worker Jesus to marvel. You got to have something going on for Jesus to marvel. By the way, has Jesus ever marveled at you? How many of you remember when Stephen was being stoned and Paul was holding their clothes, those who were stoning him? And the Bible says Jesus stood up in heaven. Jesus stood up. But before that time, there were two times that Jesus marveled. Here, at the great faith of the Gentile centurion, and in Mark 6:6, at the great unbelief of the Jews. Matthew recorded two Gentile miracles, this one and the healing of the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman. In both cases, the Lord was impressed, if you will, with their great faith. This is an early indication, if you will, Wiersbe says, that the Jews would not believe, but the Gentiles would. Also, in both of these miracles, our Lord healed from a distance by his almighty power. This was a reminder of the spiritual position of the Gentiles being afar off. End of quote. What impressed Jesus, ladies and gentlemen? What caused Jesus to marvel about the faith of this gentle Gentile general? What was it? First, Jesus marveled at the centurion's understanding of Jesus' own authority and power. Only God can give you that kind of faith. Most of the Jews saw Jesus as one of the prophets, kind of like the Muslims today. They recognize Jesus, but he's just one of the prophets, another prophet. Not necessarily God in the flesh, speaking of the Jews, and the promised Messiah, the chosen people of God struggled with that big time. While most of them accepted his miracles, they did not view them as anything more than the miracles performed by Elijah or Moses. In fact, the religious leaders accused Jesus of working miracles such as casting out devils through the power of the devil, Beelzebub. They did not recognize his authority as God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. But this gentle Gentile general did, had no doubts. Somehow he sensed, somehow he believed that this was the man, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, the predicted and prophesied Messiah. Secondly, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus marveled at the centurion's belief that sight unseen, Jesus could heal his servant. Most of us, if we had enough faith to even approach Jesus, would have insisted on Jesus coming to the house. Amen, somebody. And some of us in our pride, we definitely wanted him to come to the house so we can say that he came to our house and he worked this miracle in our house. We're special because Jesus came to our house. And to make sure the miracle was done, of course, we would have insisted on him coming to the house. Some of us would have said, now, Lord, we know that you can do it from here, but if you don't mind, just to make sure in case something happens in the transmission, we want you to come to the house, okay? You know, just so we can see it all and take pictures and take videos and put it on Instagram, okay? So to let everybody know so that we can go to church and brag. Look what Jesus did for me. You know Jesus, so that we can have some proof, okay? Because nobody's going to believe us. The man Jesus had never seen this servant before. Now, we know he created the servant because he is God. See, that's why this story of Jesus never gets old. The gospel never gets old. And one thing about preaching the gospel every day, everything becomes very little in your life when you're preaching and hearing the gospel every day. Everything becomes very small. No movie can compare to this. No news story can compare to this. You're not shocked by anything. You're not amazed by anything when you are engaging in preaching the gospel and hearing the gospel and sharing the gospel on a daily basis, because you cannot make this up, my beloved. The man Jesus had never seen this servant, if you will, humanly speaking. Didn't know this servant, humanly speaking. And no one would expect a doctor to be able to heal without first going to diagnose the patient. But the centurion saw none of that as a barrier to the miracle he requested and wanted for this lowly servant. I believe, too, that Jesus marveled at the fact that this big old general was so lovingly concerned about what some would consider an insignificant servant, somebody that he could easily replace. He asked Jesus to do something extraordinary without a doubt in his mind that Jesus could do. Amen, somebody. Are you praying like that to God? Do you have that kind of faith that you know, that you know, that you know for sure that Jesus can do it, that God can do it? By the way, do you have that kind of faith not for your servant, but for your son? Do you have that kind of faith not for your servant, but for your sister? Do you have that kind of faith not for your servant, but for your daughter, who was once serving the Lord and now is trying to paint the town red with foolishness and sin? Do you have that much faith in the Lord, like this Gentile general, to cast out the demon in your child, to cast out the demon in your spouse, to stop the demons from attacking you on the job, through people, because you need some faith in God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in certain areas of your life, with certain people in your life. And by the way, no amount of talking, no amount of counseling, visiting a psychiatrist, a psychologist, taking them to a boot camp is not going to help them get that demon out of their lives. Only Jesus can do that. And your faith in Jesus. Pray. Stop complaining. Stop whining. Stop crying. Stop fretting. Stop worrying. And pray for certain people in your life who are troubled or troublesome. Do like the Gentile general. Do what Jesus said. Have faith in God. Yes. that little demoniac son of yours, that little demoniac daughter of yours, that you're telling friends, I don't know what happened to her. I don't know what happened to him. I just up popped this devil. No, you know what happened. You're too busy trying to get your groove on instead of being a parent. And now you got a devil on your hand who used to go to church gladly, cheerfully, happily, but they saw you stop going because you wanted to stay in on Sunday morning and shack up. You were playing instead of praying and paying attention. Don't you get mad with me. Don't you cut me off. I'm trying to help you save your demoniac child. You know, how dare you say my child has a demon? Because he does. You know he does. He acts like a demon. He looks like a demon. And he scares the daylights out of you. Listen to me very carefully. There was a shooting in the wee hours of the morning. We happened to be up. It was slow going there for a while to find out what the heck was going on. Took hours to find out what was happening. It seemed like the police were even trying to cover up what actually happened. It was just shocking how long it took. Come to find out a little bit later, 12 people were killed. By whom? I'm an Air Force man myself, but I have, listen to me very carefully, I'm an Air Force man. My dad was an Air Force man. But I do have more respect for the Marines. Now, I know some of my Air Force brethren are going to get mad at me, but I have more respect for the Marines. I mean, they have their gig line straight. I mean, they put them through something in the Marines. They are real military. We're just flying high. Some of us, I call some of us in the Air Force the F Troop. If you know anything about the F Troop, back in the 60s, a bunch of military guys who walked out of step, didn't have the right shoes on, and so forth and so on. That's how good. We had a parade once a year in the Air Force. And so we flooded the military place, store, once a year to buy shiny shoes because none of us had them. Had to buy little trinkets and things to put on our uniforms. It was just like going to a job in the Air Force. So I have more respect for the Marines. And it hurts my heart that it was a Marine, a former Marine, because he's dead now, I think, killed these 12 people, young people and old people, police officers. But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story, people can call it whatever they want to in psychological terms. The point of the story is his mother said she was scared of him. And do you know there are thousands of mothers and fathers scared of their own children? You know why? No matter how they got it, but a demon entered in. And I know you don't want to hear about that in modern times, but there's a devil loose. There are demons loose running across this country and around the globe. I know you don't want to hear it because you can't see them. You don't want to hear it and you don't want to believe it. But I'm here to tell you just today. Another student, may God help us, another student hauled off and hit another teacher upside the head in the classroom and ran back and cussed at her. And she just came back from cancer leave. And all she asked was something like, what did you hit me for? Or something like that. And the little teenager, listen to me very carefully, the little demoniac teenager ran off and cussed and said, don't talk back talk me. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? See, I'm the type of Negro, I'm the type of parent, I'm the type of person in authority. I wish you would. I wish you would. I wish you would fix your mouth and say something like that to me. I wish you ball your little tiny fist up and hit me. That teacher last week, I think, in California, who put a beat down on that little rebellious demoniac boy. I'm on his side. And thank God there are many in the country on his side. White, black, red, and yellow. Why? Because these children are out of control. Why? Because parents are not doing their jobs. And we got to deal with, the police officers got to deal with, and teachers got to deal with your little demoniac child who cusses you and slaps you and beats you up from little 4, 5, 6 years old. I saw a little girl the other day beating her mother up, pulling her hair and everything, 5 or 6 years old. Are you kidding me? And you want to get mad at me because I preach the word of God like this, and I preach the old-fashioned principles of chastising your child and rebuking your child and whipping your child's tail to save their soul from hell, where the devil and the demons are and will be? Excuse me. And so this is what you have. You're not praying, you're playing. I'm talking about you folks in the church. I'm not talking about folks in the world. My dad loved us too much. He was not the disciplinarian in the family. But my mother was. If you ever even thought, did you? Do you hear me? If you ever thought about hitting her, you would not have a hand for the rest of your life. And none of the Southern mothers played that. They could not even get the words out fast enough of what they're going to do to you. Have you ever seen a black mother who was upset with the child and they can't even get the words out? What? And they picking up a shoe off their foot, getting ready to knock you upside your head. And we're not dead. We're not out here doing stupid stuff like this. We're not out here killing people. My point, beloved, is, are you playing or are you praying? There are parents scared of their children. I have many, God has blessed me with many children. I'm not scared of one of them. If anything, they're going to be scared of me. You have children who are filled with demons. Some have legions of demons. They look like the devil. This mother was scared of her son. She tried to tell somebody. Nobody listened. And now watch this. 12 people are dead. Thank God, from what I understand, some were Christians. Because there are two major Christian universities that surrounded this little dance floor place. It was youth night or whatever. Every Wednesday night, the student night. The devil, as the old folk used to say, is a lie. And I say it to his face, the devil is a lie. Some of you people are scared of the devil. You're afraid of the devil because you're playing and you're not praying. You're still trying to get your groove on. You're 49 years old. You should have got your groove already. Sit down somewhere and pray. Get on your knees and pray for your children. Do you have any children? Pray for them. Pray without ceasing. Call their names out. Dare to pray and ask God to cast the devil out of your demoniac son. Dare to have faith in God to remove that demon from his bosom. Looking crazy, talking crazy, dressing crazy, acting crazy, listening to crazy garbage from the pits of hell. You say, preacher, you'll never preach in my church. And listen, I'm glad that I will not, because as one preacher said many years ago, I would have to backslide to get into fellowship. Don't tell me I'm wrong, because I know I'm right. I've preached in many churches down through the years, and most Christians already know the truth, but they don't want to do the truth. They want to. We have parents, listen to me very carefully. We have parents who want to blame their children for their failures as parents. They sit around and drink coffee. These children are something else. No, you're something else. What are you talking about? You need to stop playing and get away from the coffee table and go home in your closet and pray, and stop blaming your failures and your foolishness and your whoring around and your lying and everything else, and running away your husband, and running away your wife, and causing the confusion in the family, and not paying attention to your main task: to raise these children for the glory of God, so they won't go out and kill somebody else and kill themselves. And Dr. Tony Evans wrote a great book. I have not read it, but it was well received. No More Excuses, primarily addressing men. But he needs to write another book, No More Excuses, addressing women and addressing parents. No more excuses, man. You're responsible for your children. Stop putting them off on teachers. God bless their heart. Listen to me. Being a teacher used to be a very honorable job, and it still is. But I'm here to tell you, that's the last job I would take, because I would have to hurt somebody if one of your demoniac children come up running up in my face, threatening me, saying anything stupid. We are going to have a problem, because I don't take that from my own children. And I'm certainly not going to take it from yours. Are you praying for your children? Are you praying for your children not to go into a school and slap a teacher? Not to act out like they act out in your house, kicking and bucking at the table, throwing sweet peas across the table, throwing the macaroni, talking, I don't like it, throwing the whole plate. You got some children throwing the whole plate on the floor, throwing the little sippy cup across the table because they don't like the water in it. They want something, they want some Kool-Aid. Pitching a fit, and you think it's cute, and you think it's cute, and you put it on Instagram, you put it on YouTube, so that you get millions of hits at your little demoniac child pitching a fit. Tell me, I hate you, and you're laughing in the background. That may be cute to you when they're six, but that could be your life at 16. And so, folks, I have to go. Finally, today, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus marveled at the fact that a Gentile, would have so much faith in him. That is why Jesus exclaimed, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. The Jews were still struggling to come to terms with the idea and the truth that Jesus was their Messiah. They viewed him with, at best, skepticism, and at worst, doubt and disdain. The religious leaders did not like him shaking up the established order of things. And you know, when God in the flesh shows up, everything's going to be shaken up. And the commoners flocked to him because of the miracles he performed and his plain, bold preaching and teaching of the Word of God with authority, like they had never heard before. But as is shown throughout, ladies and gentlemen, the Gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus called on the multitudes to commit to being his disciples, very few were willing to follow him. And that's the case today. There are many churches today that have large crowds. But you'll find out, if you dig deep, there's only 120 true disciples. And they're doing right by letting the large crowds come and hear the gospel. Hopefully they'll get born again and saved and become a true disciple one day as well. So it was remarkable that the Jews, who had hundreds of years of the Holy Scriptures and history to base their faith on, were blinded to Jesus' true nature. Emmanuel, God with us. Yet this Roman Gentile, this Gentile general, who as afar off from God could so easily see who Jesus was and what he knew Jesus could do. And so, beloved, I wonder if we have a faith that Jesus would marvel at today. I'm reminded of one of the saddest passages of Scripture. It sounded like the Lord's heart was half broken when he said it. I believe it's in Luke 18. He talks about, will there be faith when he comes back? Will there be faith on the earth? I made a commitment many years ago that if the Lord came back, I would be one of those who had faith in him. That's my heart's desire. And I've been tested and I've been challenged by the devil, the world, the flesh, false brethren, family members who have turned out to be enemies instead of supporters. But I've never wavered on that. And by God's grace, until the day I die, or until he comes back, I'm going to have faith in Jesus. I'm going to have faith in God. How about you? How often have you dared to believe that God could do the seemingly impossible? D.L. Moody said, the world has never seen a man totally committed to the Lord like that. Or are we bound by the constraints of limited belief and limited understanding of God's nature? Jesus expressed his concern that the faith exhibited by the Gentile general would not be a common thing when he said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? I said yesterday, and I believe I'm right, only God knows. But Jesus said he had not seen faith like this even among the chosen people of God. And I doubt very seriously that the world has seen faith like that that which was shown on that day by this gentle Gentile general since that time. Because this is big faith. This man had 100% confidence that Jesus had the authority and the power without even coming to his house as a Gentile to heal his servant. You and I cannot answer for all the earth, but we can answer for ourselves. We can choose to believe God to do the impossible. Not based on fanciful imagination or wishful thinking, but based upon what Holy Scripture tells us he has done down through the years. Daniel Whittle said, "Have faith in God," using the words of Jesus. "What can there be for him too hard to do for thee? He gave his son, now all is free. Have faith in God. Have faith thy pardon to believe. Let God's own word thy fears relieve. Have faith the Spirit to receive. Have faith in God." Let's pray. Holy Father God, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for your holy word and for this story that you have preserved for us to learn from today regarding what we call and who we call the gentle Gentile general. We thank you for the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the applications that have been manifested. Now, Lord, we ask you to give us the heart and the faith of this centurion to pray like that, to believe like that. And we look forward to hearing more regarding this Gentile centurion. And Lord, we pray today that your Holy Spirit would not give people rest until they come to know you as Savior. Help them to hear the gospel and be saved today. Open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears. And Lord, our big thing that we're praying for, as you know, is we're praying for over 3 million souls to hear the gospel preached from this pulpit and to be saved, born again, added to the family of the beloved. And Lord, we pray for over 3 million Christians to be reclaimed from a backslidden state, to get back to you, their first love, to pray without ceasing, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, today if you are with us and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation from sin, the power of sin, and the punishment of sin, which is hell. I pray for you that you have the kind of faith of this Gentile Roman centurion, so that you can be saved today. Please understand first that you need to accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's commandments, God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin today. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." This is a very serious matter. You're going to die. I don't care how rich you are, how white you are, how black you are, how poor you are, what your nationality is, where you were born, it makes no difference. You're going to die. That's guaranteed. And your body is going to be buried in the grave or cremated or somehow disposed of. And your soul will go to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. And hell is a very serious matter. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. He preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. Jesus Christ wants you to understand, you need to accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Buddha can't save you. Hare Krishna can't save you. Muhammad can't save you. Sun Myung Moon can't save you. Only Jesus. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father God without coming through me." Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is a place of outer darkness. Hell is a place of continual burning. Hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the saddest part of hell is that it is forever. Once you go beyond the gates of hell, you can't come out. There's no limbo, there's no purgatory, there's no second chance. And so, dear friends, you need to trust Christ today as your Savior. Yes, he'll make your life better. You can have peace and more joy in your life through trusting Christ. Yes, you have a better chance of having a better family life. But your Christian life will not be easy. And you will still suffer the consequences for the sins you commit on earth. There's a reaping and a sowing principle that's universal. And yes, you will have trouble and tribulation and difficulty in the Christian life. I'm not going to lie to you. But I would not, I've been serving the Lord for 40 years, and I would not trade my Christian life for anything in the world. It is the best possible life to live. My main concern for you is that you don't spend eternity in hell when you have the opportunity and the privilege to spend eternity in heaven with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, because hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. It is the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, no matter what you've done, no matter who you did it with, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him," Jesus Christ, "should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not lean in the back. Pay attention. Move away from that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, "and thou you shalt be saved." All you have to do is trust Christ as Savior. Believe in your heart that he suffered, bled and died on the cross for your sins. He paid your sin debt because he is the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. So if you trust Christ as Savior, you can be saved from the punishment of your sins, which is eternal hell. Believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. This is an historical fact. This is not a figment of our imagination. Many other people saw him after he rose from the dead, and they saw him ascend to heaven. And they saw the angels telling them that he's coming back. And he wants to take you back with him. So trust Christ as Savior today. It is the greatest story ever told, and is nonfiction. So pray and ask God to save your soul by your giving your heart to Christ and receiving the free gift of salvation. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. Just repeat it after me, phrase by phrase, for the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, that if thou, you, shall confess with thy mouth, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. That's a guarantee. So maybe so about it. For whosoever, that means anybody at any time, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the power of sin and the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. So repeat after me, phrase by phrase, if you want to be saved wherever you are in the world, our dear friends in Russia, in France, in England, Nigeria, Kenya, Tanzania, all around the world, the Philippines, China, Korea, Japan, wherever you are, you can trust Christ as Savior. You don't have to be in a church to be saved. I got saved outside of the church. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. You don't have to even get baptized to be saved. The thief on the cross did not get off the cross and get baptized. He just told Jesus, please remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And that's all you have to do. Follow me in prayer. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And I admit that I have committed sins against you, that I have broken your Ten Commandments through lying, through lusting, through stealing, through taking your holy name in vain, through disrespect and disobedience to my parents, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe the gospel, that Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life each and every day. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, and there's no reason why you should not mean it, you're right there, you're there by yourself, or you're with a group of people who are praying as well. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com or Gospel Light House of Prayer, or wherever you are, it should be there. And read my pamphlet, soon to be a book, titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so, dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. Or wherever you are, use whatever contact information you have, for we have some free material that we want to send to you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. And until then, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.